Monica
Fairfield.
Good morning, Honorable Members. How are you?
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
We are almost doing.
I am not in the high mood.
Not
yet. I'm not feeling very much well. I have an earache. And also because we do not have a quorum yet of the I'm sorry. We on item number 2, we have asked the Department of Transport to come and make a presentation on the broad-based black economic empowerment in the road freight sector. That was prompted by an interaction between myself and Tramco Truck Division, where they had requested that they had a meeting with me where they highlighted the challenges that they were faced with in relation to the trucking business. And as we all know, that all departments have got their BEE charters, which would include the broad-based black economic empowerment. What they presented, what Trump presented, relates to that. And we discussed that issue in the portfolio committee, not in detail, but to say that we have been approached and we took a decision that we were not going to only listen to that company, but we would also invite other companies. And we issued a press release to that effect. And we also asked our researcher, the researcher of the portfolio committee, to do a research for ourselves so that we would then identify other stakeholders within the tracking and we invited them to come here. So those that have concerns is Road Freight Association, represented by Mr. Gavin Kelly, who is the Technical and Operations Manager. We also have Transport Truck Division, represented by Mr. Lawrence Charles, the Eugene Human, and Riza Musa. And we also have Mr. Patrick Lombardo. We also have representatives from the Department of Transport, led by Mr. Maweko Zilani, who is the Deputy Director General on Integrated Transport Planning. And that's what it's Zilani, that what I see here in the picture are not trucks. When we have asked to come and present about freight, I don't know whether buses or carriers, freight, mini buses also do that. So it is a bit confusing to me. Maybe we will explain as we go along as to why you are doing. Why do we have this picture instead of having the picture maybe of tough and good men that are carrying the heavy load that is far beyond the capacity, the agreed capacity of a good what we see on the road when we are also traveling along the road. We will give the opportunity to the department to some way to learn to make a presentation.
Thanks, Chairperson. I thought, my apologies, I thought we were opening the meeting. Good morning, Chairperson, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. I must thank you, Chairperson, because we were delayed this morning. We left 40 minutes late in Joburg. And thanks for granting me the extension to this. And my sincere apologies to you again. And your team. I brought with me Mueke, the director responsible for economic empowerment department, as well as, of course, Sipoli Babano. Many of you know our lady of parliament here. Chairperson, before we present, I just want to contextualize the exercise that the department is doing or has been doing around. I will come to the big side. Is that the DOT since 2003 to begin an exercise to develop and respond to challenges of how we begin transforming the transport sector. That challenge was how do we not only provide economic opportunities for people who are excluded, but also broaden the base for participation. That engagement resulted in an adoption of what we call the transport sector charter. Before we had to adopt it, we had to align it with the DTI's codes of good practice. That exercise took us at least around 5 years. It was an intense exercise. We appreciate that there are certain sectors, your aviation and maritime sectors, that truly require an intervention for participation that they previously exceeded the maximum line. So we undertook an intensive exercise to get to determination on a whole range of issues. But in getting to that determination, we also had to look at various sub-sectors given the characteristics of each of sectors. So the exercise that we present is the response to the request by the portfolio committee would seek to address the areas that were raised by the chairperson in inviting us to come here. But then the chairperson also want to contextualize that as a department, we're not necessarily involved in operations, but we seek to support individuals and entities that may want to participate in the various subsectors. And the attempts, therefore, are about how we provide that support. So, Mr. Chairperson, I'm sure, let me talk about myself. For me, Mr. Chairperson, it takes this. Never asked, so it may be inappropriate, of course, because we hear showing as well that they are higher. But this is a template that we are wanting to reflect the work that the department does. But nonetheless, it may be inappropriate for the presentation, but it's a template that we're wanting to speak to. Say this, the Department of Transport is not only responsible for movement of people, but also the other one key element is how we move our people for access to economic opportunities and for them to keep this economy moving. Here, as I said, we'll present how we, as the department, in particular on the questions asked and the question of us, to look at the roadway sector and how we are seeking to have broaden economic participation. The other context I want to put is that so all of us know that the roadway sector, in the context of movement of freight, is the biggest mover of freight. At last count, when the economy was moving around 1.3 billion tons of freight, the road freight was responsible for almost 1.1 billion tons. It therefore is an important sector. It therefore is a sector that, from our side, are looking at saying how we can help our people to come in and benefit as players in the space. Sharing the presentation that was forwarded, we would want to cover the following areas. One is the brief, which is what was covered in the letter and the communique that went to the department. But secondly, talk about the regulatory framework that governs the matters around BEE, the BEE scorecard and scope, what it is that it is to cover. And then also talk to issues around challenges and the issues around support. The brief is just three areas. One is the transport sector being charter in reference to this subsector. But secondly, the support that the department gives to mention certain companies to protect them against exploitation. And then thirdly is how we begin monitoring companies that contract the trucking companies. I'll then ask Mugisi to get into duties as manager responsible. I will then come back later on and talk broadly on where we are wanting to take the sector going forward. Modeste will talk to the details and technical matters. I'll then come back later on and talk to say what is it that we want to do on a monitoring and evaluation perspective, looking at the sector, the Charter Council, what we seek to do, how we do the Charter Council go forward in the role that the department will play, particularly the minister, as the political head, the one that was political officer, over the work and the output of what we'll be doing. Mugetti, can you take us through them?
To the BE framework under their electric pay. As the EDG or ICP indicated that the process of developing the charter for the transport sector started way back in 2002. That process led to the development of the transport sector BE charter that was then broken up into 8 sub-sectors. And those sub-sectors are your aviation, bus, forwarding and ferry, road freight, which is what we are going to discuss here today, as well as the taxi, and the public sector charter. You may want to know as to what is this public sector charter pay hold. Its pay hold is basically focusing on ensuring that government, that is the Department of Transport and agencies, do as well as implement BEE, because it is well and good to ask the industry to ensure implementation of BEE. However, we need to show the lead with regards to that. On this slide, I have reflected the 3 areas, that is the BEF, the DTI, as well as the transport sector BEE charter. This is basically, these are the acts or legislative instruments which ensures government implements BEE. But obviously there are those supporting legislation such as your Skills Development Act, your Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, which helps to implement BEE. The charters that we have spoken about in the previous slide are broken up into 2 areas mainly. One, that I mentioned, that focuses on government. Its implementation time frame is 3 years, and this time frame began in 2010, and roughly we are in the 3rd year of implementing this public sector code. The next area of work is the private sector related subsector, which is aviation, maritime, road freight, rail. Its implementation timeline is 5 years. We are currently sitting at roughly 2.5 years of implementation. We're hoping that by 2015 we will see serious progress with regard to that. These timelines are basically aligned to the DTI Code of Good Practice 10-year timeline. And we all may be well aware of the fact that the DTI is currently reviewing the Code of Good Practice, whom they're hoping to finalize that exercise sometime in June, and that exercise basically will then lead to the fact that our sector charter, including the public sector charter, would have to be considered for review. In rough sense, though, the transport sector charter was gazetted way back in 2009. Following the gazette, it was then requested that we should have a 1-year transitional period wherein all the sector operators within the transport sector would be able to adjust their systems and processes so that they can then align those to ensure that implementation is subjected with the transport sector charter, because prior to 2009, most companies were using the DDI Code of Good Practice and then the implementation framework. So there was serious need of alignment which had to happen between 2009 and 2010. And we're happy to indicate that August 2010, the process started. And when we did our calculations yesterday with Mr. Vilana, we realized that if looking at private sector codes, which relates to aviation, maritime, and so forth, we're roughly speaking at two years and 7 months of implementation phase. And the question is how far we are in terms of profit and all that stuff. We currently envisage a situation where DTI is going through an amendment process of the DE Act as well as the DTI Code of Good Practice, and this will seriously have an impact in the framework of the DE Charter within the transport sector. I think at some point in time, we'll probably have to come back to the portfolio committee to present the outcome of that exercise following the finalization of the amendment by DTI on the Black Economic Empowerment Act as well as the Code of Good Practice. Specifically zooming on the road freight sector, the road freight sector has a scorecard, and I basically looked at the broad areas of the scorecard, which has seven elements. Out of the broad areas of the scorecard, these seven elements basically are divided into ownership, management control, employment, equity, skills development, provincial procurement, enterprise development, and social economic development. Within each element, there are subcategories that have targets which are aimed for by the industry. And the weighting per element are stated up there. Maybe at this point, I may have to indicate to the committee members that the Road Trade Association that the chairperson has mentioned here today was hands-on involved in developing the road trade sector charter specifically, including the transport sector charter. So there was a collaboration and partnership with the Road Trade Association. And there were 32 associations which were representing the small black operators within the trucking industry. So this broad-based black economic empowerment scorecard is the one that we basically use to monitor progress of BEE within the road freight sector. And the scorecard as well serves as a purpose in which companies who are interacting or engaging or doing business with government in whatever way, they are then required to produce a verification certificate which has been scored and verified using this scorecard. And that verification certificate will then indicate the status of that specific company that interacts with government directly or indirectly. The scope in which the road freight sector charter is looking at, the companies that operate within the supply chain management, logistics, trucking, transport management, transport brokers, I think there's a challenge around transport for brokers. We will flag on that one later on. Management companies for owner-drivers, there's a bit of challenges as well around owner-drivers, but it's another empowerment scheme that the sector has adopted as a way of transforming the industry as well. Courier services, motor freight companies, and cash transit companies. This is the scope in which the road freight sector code applies to. So these companies who are operating within the freight that is highlighted on the slide are the ones who are required to basically comply to the road freight sector code. We are well aware of the fact that some companies opt not to comply to the road freight sector code, but to the DTI code for many reasons, but one of which is the fact that the DTI code of good practice compared to the road freight sector code has lenient targets, has lenient requirements as compared to the sector code, you know. But the road freight sector code basically is a negotiated program for the sector players to comply to. In relation to this slide, Chairperson, may first that we should highlight four key challenges which are facing emerging trucking companies, and most of which are not highlighted here, but we will talk through them while we're highlighting each challenge. One major challenge is the lack of finance by transport operators, basically to buy trucks or to open up businesses and all that stuff. That is one major challenge. And coupled to that challenge is the fact that they may have been financing schemes that have been developed either by government or in partnership with financial institutions. But the requirement to operators or emerging companies to access that finance, basically you find that they're high or sometimes they require collateral or they require upfront a contract which is sustainable for a period of 3 to 5 years, there's a requirement that there should be upfront finance for them to access the money. So it's not only about availability of finance, it's also about accessibility of that finance through the requirements of those operators to comply with for them to qualify for finance. The second area is basically a need that they have to have a long-term contract for them to be able to get finance from banking institutions, ICT, and so forth, you know. And what has been found is that most long-term contracts are not residing with the emerging contractors. They are residing with the big operators within the road freight industry. And subsequent to that, you find the big operator then subcontract to small operators, which then leads to the fact that the contract arrangement between the big operators as well as the small operators are not beneficial to the small operators, because you find conditions of the contract may be short-term, maybe it's a month-to-month contract, or it's a year contract, or 6 month contract, that's one. Or you find that the conditions of payment per kilometer is basically not the one which will allow you to have sufficient revenue for you to operate the business, you know. So the other thing that these contracts, which are of long-term nature, they reside with the brokers as well. People who basically carry briefcases at their offices and sell these contracts to emerging contractors. So this is a special problematic area that needs some focus on its own. Having touched on the broker issue, I think there's a huge problem that has been around the brokers that exist in the road freight industry. The emerging trucking companies have been promised long-term contracts with a view that they would be helped with finance so that they can acquire trucks and be able to open up businesses and so forth. Some of which they end up using their houses, their pension as collateral for them to be able to access these long-term contracts. And at the end of the day, they end up having to pay maybe an upfront amount, for example, of 50,000 rand, because there's a promise that if they pay that amount, there will be a contract given to them, which will then be used by them to actually access businesses and do business in the trucking industry. And eventually, after a couple of months of engagement, the brokers are nowhere to be seen. Either the operator has already spoken to the bank and he or she has committed himself to financing a number of trucks, and therefore those trucks can't be paid for. So there isn't any contract that will then create a sustainable business and all that stuff, you know. So you find that a broker, another example, a broker would then register a company which fictitiously does not exist, basically, and our people would then engage that broker, not knowing that that is not a genuine company to engage, and basically then it leads to unscrupulous behavior within that industry. I think the last most important thing, which couples to a few things that I've mentioned, is lack of skills and knowledge of the industry itself. Some of the emerging operators basically are not well aware of the fact that the industry is sort of tight in relation to how you manage the business, particularly for the cost structure. And we know for a fact that petrol is the key area of your cost structure. And we know for a fact that the drivers as well play a critical role in ensuring that your business operates. So the way you manage drivers and the way you manage the petrol consumption, the way you manage your business in terms of the routes that you use and all that stuff is critical. So that part on its own, it's not there emanating from our emerging companies. I think the other side of it as well is the fact that there is lack of skills in relation to developing a bankable business plan, as well as lack of skills in relation to manage companies, in particular around finances and all that stuff. There's a serious challenge around that. Fortunately, there's one major problem that is not captured here. It's unfair behavior. There's a lot of fronting in the industry. There's a lot of unfair behavior Let me give you an example. Within the environment of owner-driver scheme, you find a specific company will have good intention of outsourcing a delivery section to its own employees so that those employees become entrepreneurs and own businesses and all that stuff. And that arrangement is not accompanied by sustainable conditions, such as a contract with that specific company for either a period of 3 to 4 years. It becomes a month-to-month contract that is given to those owner driver so that they comply with certain conditions. And you find that the financing of that business is not transparent enough for the drivers to be well aware of the risk as well as the reward with regard to that. That's the second area. The third area is the fact that the companies tend to appoint their own management person who would assist these drivers to run and manage businesses. And that person ends up having his or her own personal interest in accumulating wealth from that exercise, or end up having his or her own interest in ensuring that he does not benefit the scheme in totality. So there's lack of transparency around that specific area of owner drivers, but it's more about unfair PE practices that exist in the road freight industry. I think from our side, as the Department of Transport and government in general, I think there are a couple of areas in which we think are appropriate to support the industry, particularly the emerging trucking industry. And the key to that specific support service area is business opportunity accessibility. The question is, where does government have planned to provide business opportunities in the trucking industry for them to be able to transport goods and so forth? I think the key area of that is basically your ESCOM. ESCOM is a major player in the trucking industry, particularly around emerging operators, that they can access opportunities and be able to transport and have sustainable businesses. This example on its own, basically, Chairperson and Honourable Members, it indicates to us that the Department of Transport at national, provincial, as well as at a local level, doesn't have a leeway to basically control its environment. But you rely on entities such as ESCOM, Transnet Freightways, Transnet National Coal Authority. However, the chunk of the industry in terms of business conducting or business doing, as an example, is the mining environment. That is the industry that basically dominates in terms of income generation. It dominates in terms of giving businesses to trucking businesses. You know, the other area of interest, the retail market, where you can pay the shop price and so forth, will be a key area. However, those two areas that I've mentioned, government does not have a hold to that area, in which therefore we can then use this mechanism as a way in which we can basically ensure implementation of BEE and ensure that emerging companies within the trucking industry do basically participate in that specific area. I think the second area of interest, which is what was highlighted earlier on, is issues around funding. The question is, what has government done to date? In our reflection on the area, is that the IDC, which is the Industrial Development Corporation, as well as APRA, had a team which has basically acquired last year, where this team was developed to purely fund the trucking industry, particularly the emerging operators. And this team went a long way basically to alleviate the challenges around finance. Currently, as we speak, I think there's a scheme with IDC as well as the Daimler Chrysler, where there's a finance team, and this finance team basically allows the emerging operators can access funding and be able to buy trucks and then operate in the specific industry. And that finance team is packaged with the National Empowerment Fund, where there's a working capital that is given to operators for them to be able to carry their business on a day-to-day basis. And this working capital is at a very, very marginal interest in the trade. The other challenge that we mentioned is around skills development. On the government side, we are working closely with TISA, Transport Education and Training Authority, on our skills development program, where we identify operators who need skills development in many areas. Some of it relates to business planning, some of it relates to mentoring, some of it relates to finance management and all that stuff. And that is what exercise is done with CEDA, where CEDA helps in ensuring that business plans as well as mentoring programs are put in place in relation to skills development. I think the Department of Transport specifically has a directorate that basically is championing the exercise of ensuring that information, advice, as well as support is provided to all the sectors of transport, specifically to the road freight sector. And that section basically also assists to facilitate issues of finance, sourcing, business plans, skills development, contracts, how to have contracts and all that stuff. And it also helps to give advice on owner driver teams and so forth. We are in partnership with the Department of Trade and Industry to resolve the unfair practices that exist in the road freight industry. This is a reactionary mode, but I think it helps to address it with DTI. DTI, a specific unit that does investigation around unfair practices that relate specifically to funding and all that stuff. So as and when we get queries and requests to assist, we then work in partnership with DTI. On a continuous basis, we ensure implementation of subsector codes and at all monitoring and evaluation within that specific industry. I think Mauricio, earlier on you spoke about taking the committee on the issues around monetary evaluation. You want to? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think this area is, in trying to deal with the challenges that Mwengesi talked to earlier on around issues of funding, around issues of brokering in the space. The department is seeking to put measures in place to make sure that the intervention we seek to do indeed to achieve. There are three exercises that we are doing. One is that there is a survey that the team has conducted and is conducting, and getting to get a sense of how far we've moved in the implementation of the issues that are of the transport charges. But what we're also going to be doing now is doing the verification exercise that we'll get to talk to. First, within the department, the entire public service, on the implementation of the going forward, so that we then take the appropriate steps. And the last leg of this is through the Charter Council. We see the Charter Council being the representative body across all sectors, where we have 8 subsectors with the various chairpersons, but also have the chairs of the various subsectors sitting in a council where they advise the minister on progress across all the work that they is having in each of the subsectors. We're now in the process of finalizing that issue. We've identified what we did, we ran a public process, Chairperson, where we invited everybody and anyone who wanted to be part of the Charter Council to make sure that everyone's contribution and everyone's role, everyone plays a role. We then went through the various CVs that they submitted, people were nominated, people accepted nominations, people submitted CVs. And we ran that process. And then now, we're at a point that I'm about to advise the minister on how we therefore constitute the structure. This structure is going to be managed by Secretariat, headed by Mwengesi Ihenam in the Department of Transport, looking and sitting on a frequent basis, whether that becomes monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly, we have determined that. But that's one of the ways to which we say we want to make sure we intervene. We also monitor and evaluate the implementation of a number of these things. And then the conclusion, Chairperson, that we firmly believe that the code will be reviewed and aligned after the new BI and detailed code of good practice has been finalized. And you remember, Mwengesi said the transport sector DEE codes are more somewhat stringent, and that's the alignment we're seeking, so that we all are congruent and not incongruent in how we implement the monitoring, so that it is across the board acknowledgement of what are we making in vote or not. And then, of course, the units that MoCC has will continue to implement the sector codes, will continue to monitor, will continue to verify. Because all of the key issues for us to deal with are the issues around planting. But secondly, you remember, MoCC talked a lot about broker. And one of the biggest challenges that is faced in the sector is that this one man for one person, my apologies for using a man, but with this one person businesses, somebody has a laptop, somebody knows somebody somewhere, they then call and engage people, and then they have then these promises or contracts. And then these people then issue address or newspapers or somewhere and say you can get opportunities. But when you get the intent to get opportunities, people used to pay 20,000 rand or whatever amount of money. And those are some of the challenges we face. There is no legal way of attempting to deal with that. We can't deal with that now, unless legislation is introduced to deal with it. Chairperson?
You are surprising me by what you have said. I can't believe that I'm hearing
it. Okay, we can't hear you. Very weak.
I'm saying that he is surprising me by what he just said, and I can't believe that I'm hearing that from him. Nevertheless, must continue. And he says they can't do anything, as if there are no security forces, there is no justice system in this country. I'm very much surprised by that. Not only surprised, it makes me angry. Very angry.
Chapter, I think let me contextualize and so let me repeat again what I said. I said at present we can't deal with it. But however, through enactment of legislation, we may be in a position to deal with that. Yeah. Okay. So those challenges will continue, Chair, to
I just want to understand that without legislation, that it means there is nothing that can be done.
Without legislation, it means the department can't intervene. What people can do is... So in conclusion, Chairperson, we... Would I say these are some of the issues that are endemic in the sector, these are the issues that present various challenges, and these are the issues that the unit in its tries to support emerging contractors and emerging operators we will have to deal with. And I think it's important that we state what's happening and so that we then can deal with it effectively. Thank you so much, Chairperson. We'll come to the end of the presentation.
Thank you. I'll open an opportunity for Nella to ask questions. Honorable Sabit, I followed by Honorable Cook. Chairperson, thank you. And thanks for this presentation. Oh, it's not impressive at all. It means that my understanding or my hearing presentation by the department, this presentation, from the broker to the funding to everything that they presented, it seems as if we are a lawlessness country. My belief is that government, irrespective of which department, must protect the citizens of this country, irrespective of that. You cannot say that as a private citizen, when I'm attacked by someone, then the Department of Police cannot intervene. It doesn't work like that. If I abuse my child, the Department of Social Development must intervene in that way. So as you are dealing with these the trainings and all those things that you presented to us. It is the responsibility of the department to expand all wrongdoings that are taking place there, irrespective of the legislation. That is what I understand, Chairperson, as a representative of the masses on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you see, I must thank the department for having brought this matter to the attention of the committee. Surely, we will have to go back. They say in politics, we take one step backward to advance two steps forward. And I think for me, we are going to make that exercise. Because the intention of having this chart, of course, I don't have, we have to ask it to separate the chart. That was developed some time ago. We need to have it first, so that we talk from a position of informed. Maybe the charter also makes us to be what we are today. I think the charter was its intention from 2002-2003 was to tilt the balance of forces from monopoly to hegemon. You know, from monopoly to hegemon. But a certain sector of this country has been monopolizing this industry. Hence, there was this conference that led to a charter, so that we are guided to change the economic balances of the country. But it seems to me we are still in 2002, if I listen very carefully. Secondly, Chairperson, I get a sense, subject to correction, that the Department of Transport is an appendix of the Department of Trade and Industry. They can't stand on their own in dealing with this matter. That is why, for instance, they say, most of these private companies, the big companies, I would assume, tend to go to GDI and not to the Department of Transport because of the lenience that the Department of Trade and Industry is having. Now they are being bypassed. In other words, they are not in control of the situation in the Department of Transport. The ones that are in control of this industry is the Department of Trade and Industry. But what does it mean? Especially when it comes to operations, let alone policy. Now, Chairperson, I would want to be schooled to get hard facts here on three areas where the Department of Transport is assisting the BE, the small company. First and foremost, I would like to know who are those two companies who represented the small business in this council, because they spoke of two companies that represent the small business. Let us get them so that, because I want to check to what extent have they canvassed other people. Maybe they are here, if they are here, well, I'll wait for that. But if they are not here, then there's a problem, because so that we can check their progress in as far as it is concerned. Now, I was saying, Chairperson, I would like in three areas to get concrete steps from the Department of Transport in as far as assisting the small entrepreneurs, because they've got a scorecard here. They've got a scorecard. Of course, they've got points, you know. They've got points. I must go to all this. And also, it must be substantiated by a proof of record in the area of skills development. Any concrete training or empowerment that was conducted by the Department of Transport in as far as that concerned, because at the end of the presentation, you hear that they are raising strongly the challenges. But if you weigh that with output, there is little that has been done by the Department of Transport. Skills development, the second one, the preferential procurement. Depends on Muslim. Kathy said, and it to what extent have you killed the balance so that we've got something. I know those small companies will never be satisfied because the cake may be small, but they are enlarged all the time. But get something tangible so that when you convince this, because they are going to mushroom out of this meeting, you get more of this company coming forward. Now, what is the impact assessment of them in that area? And the last issue happening. I don't get a sense that there was any training. Not unless he goes out of thought that before we bring his wages to here, or if your problem because you wanted to buy it, surely by now you would say this is an assessment of what we've done, and these are the people whom we've assisted. Who would like to get a sense, I've got so many questions, but I'm not happy. And it seems to me the Department of Transport is not proactive. Rather, it reacts. Because this thing of saying we don't have the field, we don't have a hold to go to Gratis in the two areas, it means the status quo will remain as it was before 2002. We don't have a hold. You know, that's a fundamental statement. So that is the existence of the charter if you don't have. And it seems to me we are still developing and we are going to review. After more than 10 years in existence, 2002 is 2013 now. And we only met, check that in 2015. That's what it's been said. Any concrete steps to rectify the situation? Let's get more tangible for this document provoked us not to be level-headed. I can't believe that it says we can't have a hold. It means the big business or the status quo will remain as before 2002. Hence the charter. You know, and also, look, they are saying they are waiting for the Department of Trade and Industry to review those activities. Yes. It means we have to hold our arms until they finish. That may be another 10, 15 years down the line. Why do you take so long, comrades? I mean, gentlemen. Why? What is the problem with it else? Is that bureaucracy work like this more than 10 years? And the pressure is mounting on the ground. They don't see, look, as a public representative, if you go to your constituents, they must say, now you have made my life better. But instead, taking from what they raised here, chapter 10, on challenges, you could have the sense that it's not equal to what they have achieved. Thank you.
Honorable Olive.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think what we need to realize is that we need to understand what the problem is. And we haven't yet heard from some of the presenters who are out there trying to make it happen, what the problem is. But what I'm convinced of having heard the presentation is that the department doesn't know what the problem is either. Because what they've put in this document is a high-level survey, summary, whatever you want to call it, of legislation and of their policies and where they are so far. And where they are so far is nowhere really. There's no meaningful understanding of what the trucking companies on the ground are experiencing. I'm going to guess that what we're going to hear now is that the companies are struggling because they're not getting contracts and because emerging trucking companies from previously disadvantaged communities are not getting enough capital to be able to fund bigger contracts. I mean, that's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear the detail and how that operates, and they're nodding already. So, you know, I've never worked in the Department of Transport, and I already can basically explain the problem. But we don't see that in any way addressed by this presentation. The goal is we want to see, all the members of Parliament here want to see emerging entrepreneurs running their own businesses, their own trucking companies, and succeeding and growing and developing. Everybody else. There's no political party that doesn't want to see that. So we know what the goal is. Okay? We know what the current situation is. Not enough contracts, not enough funding of size capital or capital to buy back. Those are the big problems. There are ways to address those. The city of Cape Town has one solution, which is to cut the big government contracts up into smaller pieces. So you deliver 100 desks, and they pay you, you've got the cash, then you go buy another set of blanks and things and make more desks, you deliver another. So one of the solutions the department could look at is to get all of these, you know, we see an Eskom contract. You try as, and I'm not one, you know, I have a white skin, I'm sorry about that, but I do. But you try as an emerging trucking company and try and get a contract with Eskom. I don't know the facts because I'm not in this industry, but I can guess. I can guess just knowing in my experience what happens. you have to probably send documents as part of this room. You've probably got to have a team of lawyers to get all around the requirements. It's a mess. So what did the city have to do? So it said, no, enough with that. We're going to make the contract small, like a few pages. And you supply a small quantity, and then you get 5 of those, and you do the bill, and then you get 10, and then the next year you get 15, and eventually you become a medium-sized company because you've delivered, and you've got paid, and you've... The department, if it wants to help emerging trucking companies, has got to think of solutions like that. And then it's got to go and sell to Eskom, and Transnet, and Prasa, and all the different departments, a method of cutting up their contracts into smaller pieces, so that they can be awarded to these companies, and cutting down the red tape so that the contract is a simple one. You know, you make the job smaller, you make the contract simpler. It is a selling job, Chairperson. You've got to actually go to that department to convince them to make their contract be friendly. But what we're hearing today is they want a bigger stick. They want more legislation, they want a bigger police force, they want all sorts of councils and boards to put more officials on that are going to sit around, drink tea, and talk about the size of the problem. I mean, really, we don't want to know the size of the problem and more boards and more tea and more legislation and more police and more that. You've got to go and do practical things, like cutting up the contract, simplifying the documentation, and maybe assisting with finance, but I see there are some measures to assist with finance if you do a little bit of that. But why we sit around and talk about, oh, you can just go get a contract from Eskom, it's kind of quite frankly. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You know, from where I am seated, honestly, for me, this presentation is only good for spin the time. Because honestly, I don't feel like our people in safe hands currently with the department, as far as this item that we are discussing now is concerned. And one of those unfortunate was to hear that aspiring entrepreneurs are exposed to unscrupulous individuals and the department cannot do a thing about it. For me, that was unfortunate. Because the situation that we have is very unfortunate indeed. When questions that I would like to pose, because honestly based on the presentation given, it reflects one thing, the department is not in touch with what actually is happening on the ground in terms of what our people are going through. But the question that I want to ask perhaps would be on page 12, where you are saying, okay, where you are talking about the survey. Well, I would not ask to have a copy of the survey. But what I would like to know is, when is this survey going to start unfolding? Because by the time frame starts at it. In terms of the charter council, you said everyone was invited. Perhaps the question that I would pose is, what medium to do when you're doing your invitation? So that in the future, when this council is nicely established, we then get a commotion about people who said they were not invited, they don't know how to get formalized and stuff like that. On the issue of, perhaps you might share light with us, on the issue of funding. Okay, I think it's, okay, good number. On the issue of funding, what I would like to know from you, if perhaps you have a knowledge, is there some kind of training that is being given to individuals whose funding would have been approved? Because I know in a number of instances, you have situations where government oftentimes would approve some kind of funding and give a funding without people being properly trained in terms of financial management. Some of them have not even been exposed to basics of bookkeeping, and eventually they get exposed. The other one on the same issue of funding, IDC stroke other funding scheme, you said it expired last year. What I would like to know is that why was it not renewed or was simply not ready?
NJ.
Chair, thanks. I share the concerns expressed by the other committee members with respect to the presentation. I think the problem that we're all having is that we don't really know much more than before we walked into this meeting. And I want to suggest a framework which I would like you to put to the committee, chairperson, if you will, but obviously you'll want to hear what I say first, as to how we do these things. Because I think what we have here, apart from the obvious points that have been made with parity by the other committee members, is a problem regarding process. If you go through this particular presentation, other than the years that are mentioned to implement various policies, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and the fact that we're told that there's 8 subsectors, there are no numbers in this presentation. So if we're talking about a problem, and it's a portfolio committee in Parliament, I think it's very poor if we talk about a problem in a general, airy-fairy kind of way without actually quantifying the problem. And I just think at parliamentary level, we've got to rise above the gossip on the street and the unsubstantiated stuff you will read about in journals, and we have to actually understand the extent. So when we talk about issues and challenges and problems, we need to be able to measure them, we need to quantify them. Now that is not in this presentation. And if you look at the topic that we were expecting to hear about, the challenges facing the trucking industry, with particular emphasis on the BEE component, it would be the smaller and macro type enterprises that are struggling to get a foothold. I mean, that's a very worthwhile topic for this committee to consider. And then it starts talking about the challenges and the support services. But I would have wanted to have seen, if we're talking about the lack of big contracts issued to the emerging trucking companies, I would like a number there. I'd like a pie chart which says the big companies take X percent of the total cake, whatever the values of that is to the national industry, and the small companies only take X percent, whatever it is. So we can see exactly how big of the cake they're getting. If there's a problem with access to finance, I would like to see numbers which say that the banking industry or the government through support programs provides X amount of billions of rands or millions, whatever the case may be. But that amount that goes to the small SMME type enterprises, which is the focus of the meeting today, is only a percent of that, or whatever it is. And it would be helpful if we also had it on a comparative basis. I'm arguing now as an accountant and a statistician, but I think if we are to do justice to this topic and justice to our salaries, which the taxpayers pick up, we need to know these numbers. So I would have liked the department to have said to us, in 2005, for example, only 1% of the business finance went to these types of BEE enterprises that we're talking about. That increased to 2% by 2010, and as we speak today, the 2012 figures are, say, 4%. I'm just taking figures at random. And the whole committee can see that there is very, very slow progress if that was the case. Alternatively, they might have given us completely different figures which show that the funding is increasing very rapidly, in which case we can say we're moving in the right direction. We don't actually know because there is no measurement, there's no quantification. And so what I'm asking, Chairperson, is that when the department comes back again, I certainly think they need to come back again and give us some numbers, because I'm not happy with this presentation. But even if they don't come back and give this particular presentation, any future presentation that they give to us, which talks about problems, about funding, about finance, about scope contracts, about what percentage of the market they actually have, should be accompanied with statistics, reliable statistics, and they should be prepared as far as possible on a historical basis so we can look at trends. Unless we have both of those things, we can't adequately as a committee address the problem, and then we're actually wasting everybody's time, most of all the taxpayers. So that's my plea to you, Jay. I'd like you to put that to the committee. Let's talk about it. And if we can agree, as we've managed in the last 2 months on a number of things, let's agree that on an on-party political basis as a transport committee, the task of the department to prepare that type of presentation for us in the future. And I really do think they need to come back again and do a better job of it with some figures next time.
Thank you. Honourable.
I know I did speak a lot earlier on, and I will support that approach.
in fact also this document, this picture themselves, let them do a quite nice cover that speaks to the document itself. Because it's civic. Thank you very much. I will not elaborate on that. I think I've said a mouthful of things. But the picture does not respond to what is contained in terms of the content. Or they should include all modes of transport. So that, and then identify this one that is very specific. Because this one is really misleading. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I give the department an opportunity to report, I also want to share my own view and how I feel about the presentation. DDJ Bilan, I don't believe, and nothing will make me believe, that this presentation a fucking slide presentation. Reflect the work that the department wants us to believe that it has been doing since 2002 up to where we are. 13 years. It's for the first time that we have called to the department to come and present to us work that is done by the department to transform the parking setup. For the first time. It has never appeared in your strategic plan. It has never been called to appear in front of this committee to present us. If I were in your shoes, I would have taken this opportunity as a golden opportunity to showcase the amount of work that I have done, to present the challenges as I see them, and interact with the community, the constituency. The parking industry is the constituency of the Department of Transport, not the constituency of the Department of Trade and Industry. Trade and industry provides the tools. It is a constituency of the Department of Transport. I would have then used this opportunity to present all the challenges that I have identified, quantify them, as my colleagues have alluded to. But the department has missed that opportunity. Big time. They have missed that opportunity. Instead of enabling us to assist you to overcome the challenges, you are actually making us angry. I think that would not take us serious. So not taking Parliament seriously is not correct. Because these are public representatives. It then amounts to not taking the public seriously. And government officials are not there for themselves. Come to the presentation. You are going to ask, the process started in 2002. The transformation process in this country started in 1994. But what you are presenting to us, to actually transform, to have a BEA charter, and what you are presenting to us, you are asking us to reflect from 2004, not 1994. And I have a problem with that. Why are you not saying this is what we did from 1994? This is what we did from 1994. These are the results. that they achieved between 1994 and 2002. And these are the changes that we detected as a result of not yielding the intended results. You are not sensible to us. You are giving us a general picture. You are not telling us what the results are. And you are also not telling us what challenges in relation to the results. Then on slide number 6. Now on slide number 5, you are also telling us years, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. No numbers in terms of quantities, and also no tangible results that we can measure and say. In 3 years, this is what we will see as a change, because you shall have presented us with a problem, and then it will take you 3 years to address this problem, that problem, and these are the results that we can see. And that has been even identified by the Auditor General in terms of the objectives of this department, that every time this department presents a strategic plan, you don't put down measurable outcome. And that makes it very, very difficult to assess the progress that you are making as well as the impact, the change that you are making. On slide number 6, we are in a 2.5 and 7 month implementation phase. You don't tell us what are the expected end results. At what point of the implementation process? So there are no milestones that we can monitor. Slide number 7. You use the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Scorecard to assess companies that are doing business with government. I don't think that we subscribe to that. There is no law in any country that only targets one particular sector or one particular market segmentation. We can't have in this country a broad-based like economic empowerment policy that only applies to public companies and cannot apply in private companies. There is no such. If you say so, you are then saying to us, the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Company policy cannot apply to the mining sector. As much as the trucking sector gets contracts from the mining sector, the mining sector can go on and exploit the people and not apply, because this policy is actually meant only for the public company. There is no such. That is not my understanding of that policy. A policy of a country applies to everybody who lives in that country. It can only apply to government companies. On slide number 8, you are identifying, you present us with a scope, and you identify mainly 3 problem areas: the transport brokers, associated labor brokers, and management companies for owner drivers. This meeting was actually called because a company for owner drivers complained. They came to my office and presented their application to me. That resulted to this message. We haven't heard as this committee what they have said, but I heard them clearly. What they are saying is there are hidden ways of laying off drivers by this company, where they will be given short-term contracts. And they will also be given rates that will not take them anywhere. The rates will only be enough to pay off the truck, not even maintain the truck. Some of those trucks get repossessed, meaning that the whole pension, the whole pension that this truck driver earned when he was an employee who was at least guaranteed a job goes down the drain. And you are saying to us as this department, there's nothing that you can do to protect those people. You can sit back and watch this company doing that to drivers, to their former drivers, causing more unemployment and causing misery that those people would have been made to use this, the pension, which at least they would have saved, instead of being made to buy a truck that drains the whole pension and renders the family poor. On slide number 9, you are saying to us, you are aware that long-term contracts reside in big companies. And from 1994 up to 2018, you have not managed a department to think of a possible solution to deal with this. You are also saying to us that you know that there are unscrupulous brokers who come to people and present to them who are given long-term contracts, and then they would move around and ask people to buy trucks and give them short contracts. You are aware of that and you can't come with a solution. You are also not telling us what is it that you have done to identify those people, those scrupulous brokers, and hand them over to this. Or talk to your sister department, the Department of Police. There are detectives there who can investigate. Lack of skills and how and know-how of the trucking industry. You are not telling us that this department has designed, just designed a training program and not with the sitters. To say, in our view as the Department of Transport, these are the skills that need to be imparted. I could not believe what I was hearing when you were saying government has not have hold on the market. To me, that means that there is a lack of understanding of what is the business of the government, the parliament. We make policies. We make laws. We regulate. and to make sure that those laws are adhered to. It can then be corrected that when laws are violated, then we can come here and say, the government has got no hold. Government has a hold. Government can make a law that would actually prevent that situation from continuing. That is our responsibility. Parliament would make the law. Policies that would actually deal with that situation. We are talking about the support services that you are giving. But you are unable to quantify the support services and present the change that has been effected through such support services. So, then right at the end, on slide number 18, in your conclusion, you do not mention how you intend to deal with the problems and challenges that have been identified. Huge problem. Problem of exploitation and problem of monopoly. Problem of rendering. People were better off when they were employees that are now being rendered much poorer. Take your pension, go and buy a truck. We are laying you off. It's your own truck today, as from today. But we are giving you a short-term contract, only enough for you to pay for the truck. And after that, go back home and down. And this department can't present to us how they intend to arrest that situation. Let us break for tea so that we give you enough time to respond to our questions.
What about these other guys who have to present?
Okay.
You just have time to finish work for the day, okay? Good timing, right? Just in time to leave. What's going on like that?
How long is the tea break?
1 hour.
Hey, you can go. It's just, 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 it's just,